Well, grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. As I was thinking about this day, as we're moving towards Christmas, just 5 days away, I had certain plans of where I was going to head, and the Lord totally redirected me, what I didn't expect at all. And today I'd like to just read 6 verses to you, and then spend a few moments talking about those. In verse 26 of chapter 33, we read, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." Those words came from the lips of Moses, a father of a nation. And his heart was towards his people. He wanted to see them know the truth as they were preparing to go into the promised land across the Jordan River, where he knew he wasn't going to be able to go with them. And so he was preparing them for that journey. These are really the last recorded words of Moses' praise to the only true and living God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, we read, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." There's another Father, the one that we would call our Heavenly Father, that would speak into our lives during this season, that would share with us that which we need to cross, if you will, the Jordan into that relationship that he wants us to have with him. And here in these verses, we see a wonderful picture of that journey and how it's all wrapped up in the incarnation, in that blessed event in Bethlehem where God took on flesh and became, if you will, one of us. In verse 26, it says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky." We see Moses' exaltation. Moses was a man of worship, a man of praise. He had developed that relationship with God over the years. He'd walked in opposition to God at times, and we know that. He spent perhaps the first 80 years of his life in failure from a spiritual standpoint as God prepared him to be used by the Lord. But Moses had learned the value of worship. The greatest praise that we can offer today is for the incarnation. God's provision to us for relationship with him. It is that birth that began that journey of the new covenant. As Jesus grew and became a man and did all the ministries that he did and went to the cross, it's God's provision for you and me this morning. Isaiah chapter 9 would say, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And although we've been to this place many times, the older we get, the more times we've been there, it's important that we not begin to take it for granted. That we go back and we re-experience the wonder of that event. Because you see, not only is it God's provision for us in our relationship with him, it's a revelation to us. As the scripture would declare, that it is God coming to us, coming to man, that we might know his heart, his way. We see the heart of the Father in the manger. He speaks to us through the person of Christ. He ministers to the deepest part of our souls, and we want to know and understand the heart of the Father, you see. There it speaks of Yeshurun. That word, that name, speaks of Israel, but it actually means the upright one. It is God in the flesh. As we want to know and understand who God is and what his heart towards us is, we need to look into the manger. For you see, in the manger, we see the face of God as we look into the face of Jesus. It's interesting as you go through the Old Testament. God says to his people, if you walk in opposition to me, I will hide my face from you. And for the longest time, I really didn't understand what that meant. What does that mean, God? You're going to hide your face from them. And then one day this light came on as I was listening to some things and reading. Who is the face of God? It's Jesus. Jesus is the face of God. And so when we consider the Jewish people, and sometimes we scratch our heads, how can you not know who Jesus is, the Messiah? It's because they've yet to look into the manger, you see, and see the face of God. They're still looking for Messiah. But God, by his grace, has revealed Messiah to you and to me. As you sit here this day, you have had the revelation of Jesus Christ. At some point in your life, you've heard the truth. Then we have to decide what we're going to do with that revelation. That Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to seek and save that which was lost. As the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. But we have a choice. Jesus is God's provision. Jesus is God's revelation of his heart, who he is. But Jesus is also the incarnation, because he took on flesh and walked among us. And as you walk through the Gospels, as you spend time with Jesus, you see his humanness, you see the weariness at times in his life and the pain that he would go through as people rejected him. And even to the point of his disciples, he would say, "Will you leave me also?" Sometimes we feel pretty alone, don't we? We can find ourselves feeling very alone, but know this, that Jesus walked that path. And he knows what you, what we are feeling. And we need to look to him, because you see, God is worthy of our praise. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, we read, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." As we look into the manger, it should move our hearts to worship, to exalt the name of God, to draw him close, wrap our minds and hearts around him as best we're able, because it's there that we find our greatest satisfaction. In verse 27, we read, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." In that verse, you see Moses' exhortation to the people. As he talks about the reality of who God is to them, the first thing he says is, "God is your refuge." I love that picture. And even this morning, we were hearing those words. God is that place of safety where we can run and be safe. That's what the scripture says. The Lord is a high tower. We can run to him and be safe. It's all wrapped up in the story of Jesus. The greatest exhortation in our lives is proclaimed by the angels at the incarnation, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. How sweet is that message? As God unfolds his plan in our lives. He does have a plan for you this morning. He has the best plan for you. And we need to know and understand that his heart is for us to walk with him, not in opposition to him, because that's a very expensive journey. Paul would write to the Corinthians, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We are made in the image of God. And at one point in time, in that moment, we're going to be made just like Jesus. Jesus is the prototype. He is the one made without hands. And we will be just like him, eternal in the heavens. Do you look forward to that? I look forward to that. Leaving behind this body that's wearing out and breaking down. God is our refuge and undergirding of his people. God is our refuge and strength, Psalm 46 says, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Call out to him this morning, guys. I encourage you. That refuge, that place of safety, whether it be in the storm or in the fire or in the wind, God will not allow you to be burned up, washed away, or blown away. He'll never allow anything into our lives that we cannot deal with. He is our refuge. He will support his people and protect them. And he's doing it even in these days. I marvel, you know, as we were talking earlier, as the sharing was going on, at the freedom that God has given us in this place. There are so many churches today that have locked down and have never opened up in all these months. And God has protected us and allowed us to continue to meet and be one together. That is a gift. That is a gift. And you see other churches, like down in Southern Cal, these huge churches that have continued to meet that said, no, we're going to stand strong in the power of God's might. And God has protected them. Not a single case of COVID in their sanctuary. And there's been, they have thousands that gather. Because God is glorified. He is a refuge. He is a protector of his people. That's Jesus, the one who's worthy of our praise and of our worship. God will support you this morning. He will protect you, but you have to be willing to surrender. We have to ask ourselves the question, what or who is our refuge today? Is it a husband? Is it a wife? Is it a family member? Is it a job? What is it that we put our trust in? If it's anything apart from Jesus Christ, it will not stand. It will not stand. He is the only one that can provide for us. And that was Moses' heart, and that's the Father's heart to us today. In verse 28, we see Moses' declaration, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob. You see Jesus in that, the fountain of Jacob, the living water, shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. The greatest declaration in our lives is the reality of Emmanuel, God with us. We need to speak that reality out. God is with us. He was with us in the flesh almost 2,000 years ago. He's with us in spirit today. And he carries us through. The scripture in John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God is revealing his heart to you right now in these moments. He's speaking to me, he's speaking to you, he's telling us what he wants for us because there is an abundance that comes from abiding in him. Can you imagine how full the hearts of Joseph and Mary were as they stood there at that manger and looked at that new baby after all the hardship, after the journey of so many miles there to come and be taxed? Oh, yay. And yet they're there in that place, and that mattered not a whit as they looked at that new life wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. And we can have that same joy. We can leave the hardness, the difficulty of the journey behind us, and we can come to that manger and look into it and be reminded of the reality of Jesus, the fountain of Jacob. That's who he is. Safety, refreshment, physical need, the reign of his spirit in our lives. And we take much for granted. We are blessed in so many ways that we lose sight of. I'd like to just read something briefly to you. Here about a month ago, there's a friend of mine and is a pastor down in Brookings. His name is Rich Ablett, his wife Christy and their family, his son Zach. Zach was out surfing and he had an accident and he ended up paralyzed. And so now they're on this journey. It's a hard journey. It's a difficult journey, like Mary and Joseph. There's a number of entries, but I'd just like to read the most recent one. Being a Saturday, today was a fairly unscheduled day. Zach is limited to only 2 hours in the wheelchair twice a day to protect his skin from sitting too long. So he took full advantage of his time in the chair to explore. Now, they're down at what they call Craig. It's Craig Institute. That's a bigger name than that. But it's down in Colorado, and they specialize in rehabilitation of these kinds of injuries. We wandered down to the therapy gym to find a variety of equipment to experiment with. He was very encouraged to begin to challenge himself. He rolled up to one familiar pulley weight set that he had used prior to the accident, only to realize he would have no grip in his fingers to hold the bar. No problem. We got creative and Velcroed his hands to the bar in order for him to pull down on it. We felt pretty proud of ourselves. The simplest of tasks challenged him. He has lost a lot of muscle weight, but he pressed on. He told me later that he was examining his arms and thought of the verse, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the God stands forever." Amen, Zach. Our bodies will fail us. You have seen a withering of your body this month. Your muscles have faded, but God's word has never been more deeply abiding in your heart. You've been strengthened by the might, by his spirit in the inner man. You are stronger now than ever. We will not fear moments of weakness, for God's promises will not fail us. For after you have suffered a little while, Christ will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. They close with, it's already happening. We take a lot for granted. We've been blessed greatly. And that sustaining power that Zach is experiencing now, and Christy and Rich and their daughter, is available to you and to me today. It's a free gift. It's all wrapped up in this one in the manger, you see. But we have to decide what we're going to do with him. No one is excluded from coming to the manger. We just have to decide to come, you see. In verse 29, "Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord?" I just love that verse. People saved by the Lord. That's me. That's you if you have a personal relationship with Jesus. We've been saved by him. "The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." We see in this verse Moses' inspiration. Moses' inspiration. He says, what? "Happy are you, Israel." Could be rendered blessed. Oh, how happy. Blessed are you, Israel. Why? Why so happy? It's a reality check, you see. We're happy because we've seen with clarity the manger and the one in it. And we come to relationship with the God of heaven through him. You see, as we are here today, there is no one like me. There is no one like you. If we've been saved by the Lord, we're very unique, and he has designed us for a specific purpose and plan. He's unfolding that plan in your life and in mine. Sometimes I don't feel very happy. Happy, 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 you know. But I truly am blessed, as are you. And we need to take account of that. We need to go back and revisit it when we begin to feel discouraged, downhearted, defeated, depleted, deflated, all those D words. And be reminded that God is still on the throne and he's working his purpose in you and me. The greatest inspiration is to come and see the one in the manger. As I truly get a vision of Jesus, I'm not only blown away, but I am prepared and encouraged and built up in the faith so that I can make it for the next day. And it's one step after the other. Salvation lies in the manger. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to dedicate him, Simeon was there and he had been waiting. God said, you're not going to die until you see Messiah. Messiah shows up. He didn't die. He did, however, say, this one is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. That's the revelation. You cannot see Jesus without it having an impact, one way or the other. It demands a decision. What we're going to do with this one in the manger. If we respond rightly, the result is a relationship with God and blessing from him. If we had time to talk with those here in this place that have been walking with the Lord for a while, they could bear witness and testimony of the many blessings that they had received as a result of that relationship. I am so amazed at what God is doing and has done. And I'm so thankful as we function together as a body in this place and we see what God is doing. Why? Because the manger paved the way to overcome. That manger overcame one of the greatest empires in history, the Roman Empire. They did everything they could to stamp out the reality of that one in the manger. Waves of persecutions, millions of Christians died during the 10 emperors' reigns. And yet the more they persecuted, the greater, more vibrant the church became. You know, we're looking at the possibility of challenge coming in our lives as believers in this nation, in our world at large. It's heating up. Now, as the scripture said, good is called evil and evil is called good. And we could very well see persecution personally and corporately. I don't know. The Lord knows. But I can tell you this. God will give us the grace to deal with whatever he allows to come down the pike. He'll change us. He'll perfect us. He'll purify us. And he'll send us back out to do the work of ministry. Maybe a little more battered, a little more scarred up, but he'll use us until he's ready to take us home. As I was thinking about that, it reminded me of an old hymn. Remember that hymn, Victory in Jesus? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. What a powerful truth that is. Moses gives us the key as he prepares a nation to go into the promised land. The Father gives us the key that we can enter into that promised land. Into not only relationship with him, but a vibrant relationship with him. A supernatural relationship with him. And he wants that for you today. He wants that for me as well. Don't be like Moses and wait till you're 80. But if you did, better 80 than never. Yeah. The Lord is so faithful. There is none like unto the God of Yeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Spend some time looking into the manger. You'll walk away richer for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is rich indeed, Father. It is powerful to change lives. Your word has moved kingdoms, Lord, and will continue to do so. It is eternal in the heavens and settled. I thank you, Father, for the privilege of being in this place with your people. We are one in Christ. How grateful we are, Lord, this day. It is for this day, Lord. It is a gift in your hands. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to have grateful hearts. May we take time, Father, to go to the manger and simply gaze upon the one who changed the world. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you gave him as our Savior. I pray the Lord would minister to you, that you would hear what he would say, that you would respond, that you would become a worshiper of the Lord, a declarer of the Lord, and inspired by the Lord, that the Father might be glorified and the world might be changed. We ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.